Now I'm going to ask you if you will turn with me to the Word of the Lord this morning, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to 16, as this is the background for my message this morning, and it's entitled, Walking and Leaping and Praising the Lord. And I'm going to share with you on four points out of this text of Scripture. And they are more than an ordinary story, more than ordinary men, more than ordinary words, and more than the ordinary. These are the three highlights of and headings of the message this morning. But let's go to the Word of God itself from the New King James Version. And it says, Now Peter and John went up together. I want you to take note of that. They went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, Look at us. I want you to get that phrase again. Look at us together. Look at us. And you see a unity there. You see a oneness there, a harmony. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Peace, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him, this man, perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And then he goes on to preach Jesus, to present Jesus, to present Jesus mission to the people. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's take a moment and pause in prayer. Father, give us ears to hear this morning what the Spirit would say unto the church. Father, we thank you that through Jesus we have this privilege to be identified as members of the family of God, approved of you, accepted in the beloved, free from the penalty of sin, changed and made new creatures in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the resurrection of the dead and the authority of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together in his name this morning. And we just pray, oh God, that we would be ministered unto. I covet the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come now, illuminate truth to our hearts. May we be affected by it. May it affect others with whom we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here in Acts chapter 3, we have an event that took place shortly after Jesus had ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit, which he had promised, had come. And here, this is an account of an actual event that transpired as Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, to worship and praise God and spend some time in prayer. And so what we have before us this morning is more than an ordinary story. It's more than prose or literature. It is a story that is contained in the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God is inspired. It is inerrant. It is infallible. And so therefore, it is God-breathed. It is without error. It is with authority. And so it's very important for us. It's a matter of fact, it's imperative that as believers that we would read it, that we would hear it, and that we would understand it so that it can be applied and be effective in our lives and also in the lives of those with whom we come in contact with. And so this story is inspired. It's contained in the Word of God. It's a God-breathed story. And it's a true story. And so we need to listen this morning because God's Word speaks. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, brought it all together so that there's a thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation and a consistency in one big story. The Holy Spirit, the author, is present this morning in the heart of each believer, each child of God. So we have the author in our presence this morning. And because of that, this book, the Bible, and this story contained in the Word of God can speak. We can hear something from it. And so we need to listen this morning. Because sometimes, you know, I really, really wonder, do we really hear what God is saying to us through His Word by the Holy Spirit? Little Johnny went to children's church one Sunday morning, and the teacher shared the story of creation about Adam being created from the dust of the earth, Eve being taken from the side of Adam, and after the fall, how they sowed fig leaves together and made clothing for themselves. And the teacher made reference to the fact that from dust we come and to dust we shall return. And so while he was home for lunch, his mother brought up the subject and asked him what was taught in children's church this morning. And Johnny just related to her the things that I just mentioned. And so after lunch, he went in, he laid down on the sofa, and she noticed that he was very uncomfortable and squirming and moaning. And she said to Johnny, she said, "Johnny, what's your problem?" And he said, "Mom, I don't know," he said, "but I think I'm having a wife." He had a pain in his side. Now, I didn't say a wife wasn't a pain in the side. I just said that that wasn't really what he was having, okay? And so that was okay. After lunch, he went a little later over to Grandma's place, and Grandma was preparing for him some milk and cookies, and while she was doing that, he was in the living room with the big family Bible open, and he came across this huge maple leaf that was dried and pressed and placed in the family Bible. And he called out, he said, "Grandma, Grandma, I believe I just found Adam's suit." So to finish up his day, he's on a roll by now, he went to his bedroom after supper and was playing with his toys and reached in under the bed to retrieve one of his toys, and he seen this huge dust ball. And he screamed out to his mother. He said, "Mommy, Mommy, come quick." He said, "There's someone under my bed and I don't know if they're coming or going." Now, that's humorous, but the point is this. He had sat there and listened to the story that the teacher shared based upon the Word of God. And it's factual that God created man, and out of man's side he created woman. It is factual that they sowed leaves together, dried and pressed leaves they would become because of the curse. And it is also true, from dust we come and to dust we return. But you see, the problem here is that he wasn't hearing what the Word of God was saying. He heard the story and went away and gave his own interpretation to it, one that suited him. Now, how many of us this morning are like Johnny? We sit, we listen to the teaching of the Word of God, but we really do not hear what it is being said to us. And we go away and we interpret it in a way that best suits ourselves. We're all guilty. So this morning I just want to take this story and I want to deconstruct it and to look for factors which contribute to the outcomes. Now, the outcome, as we initially see here, is that a lame man is now walking and leaping and praising the Lord in the temple. Now, what factors led up to this particular outcome? Well, the background is, of course, that he was carried daily to this particular location. And there he sat, and there he begged as people went into the temple to pray and looked for charity to just help him survive on a day-to-day basis. And he had accepted that this is my life. I cannot change. And so this is the best that I can do to survive, is to have someone carry me to the gate and let me sit there in my misery and receive just enough of what I need to get me from day to day. That being the fact, and it's not likely that this was the first time that Peter and John went up to the temple. They were devout in their religion. But they may have, on occasions, gone by and passed this man and didn't hear him. Maybe they just give a quick glance and really didn't see him, didn't speak to him, didn't reach out to him, and just went on their way to go about your business, as busy people so often do. But this time it is different, because this time Peter and John were not just ordinary men. They went to the temple to pray as men that had been changed. They had changed from operating in the natural to operating in the supernatural. Their focus was changed from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness, from selfish ambition to the Great Commission. They were aligned with the Great Commandment. Now, this is quite a change in the life of the disciples. You see, because they were of the mindset. They seen things naturally. Although they had spent 3.5 years with Jesus, and they had heard his teachings, and they had seen his ministry and his miracles, they still maintained the natural and seeing things from a natural perspective. And they were fixated on the coming kingdom, the political power that would overthrow Rome, and Jesus would reign, and they were just jostling and positioning themselves to see who's going to get the seats of power, who's going to be at his right hand, who's going to be, what's in this for me? That was their attitude. That was their mind. That was their mindset. And you know, right up until the end, they still didn't get it. You know what they asked Jesus just before Jesus was going away? He said, Lord, are you going at this time restore the kingdom again? And Jesus said, that's not for you to know. When are you going to get it? I've been telling you this from the beginning, that I'm going to go away. But I have a mission for you. And he said, you are my witnesses. When you receive, go tarry in Jerusalem till you receive power. When you receive it, you're going to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And that was his last words. He ascended into heaven. The angels appeared and they stopped gazing and they headed to Jerusalem. And there was a great transformation that took place. I'll probably come back to it a little later. But what I want you to see now, these changed men, more than ordinary men now, because they had changed their focus. They finally give up on political power. They finally give up on the natural and stuff. And they sold out to Jesus. And they committed themselves to carrying out the task of the Great Commission. That was not only given to them, but given to us. It is the mandate of the church, the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's our mission. That's why we exist. Our purpose is to reach the lost world with the message of salvation, the message of Jesus. It is our mandate. The only reason that we have been brought into existence is to carry out the great commission of the Lord Jesus, and each and every one of us have been given the power and the authority to go. We don't have to wait for special instructions. We don't have to wait for a special unction. We have the authority and the power to talk Jesus to every single person we come encounter with. We have the opportunity to live Jesus, to be Jesus in the flesh, so that the world can come in contact with the gospel and their lives can be changed. That's the Great Commission. They finally got it, and they started out on that journey. And they aligned themselves with the Great Commandment. Now, what's the Great Commandment? Matthew chapter 22. Jesus declared, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's pretty much everything, isn't it? All of us. The entire being is supposed to love God. To declare his worth, to declare his value. That's where worship comes in. The whole idea is that I am to, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, worship God. And as I said last week, it's very important that we understand that we're to love ourselves, not in a narcissistic way or in some kind of an ego trip, but we are to love ourselves, and we'll love ourselves when we realize what God did for us and who we are in Christ, that we have been approved by Almighty God, that we've been accepted into the family of God, that we're not going to receive any punishment or judgment for our sins because Jesus took it all, and that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And when we come to that realization and what God provided for us through the teachings of justification and reconciliation and propitiation and also through regeneration, when we come to what God is saying to us and speaking to us through His Word, and we realize who we really are in Christ Jesus, then the focus goes to God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and we bow down and we worship Him. He's not Santa Claus. He's not the man upstairs. He is the Almighty God. He is the Holy One. He is the Eternal One. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and we humble ourselves in His presence, and we adore Him, and we worship Him. And we praise Him that He's given us the privilege to be in His family, to be His children, and to partner with His Son and the Holy Spirit to carry out a mission, being His ambassadors and representatives in a foreign country. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when I get to learn to love myself for who I am in Christ, and I begin to worship God with all of my heart and soul and mind because of what He's done for me, what He went through to make me His child, then I see my neighbor in a different light as well. And I begin to love my neighbor the same way that I love myself. I begin to see the neighbor not as a cantankerous, busybody or some, you know, less than perfect person. I begin to see my neighbor through the eyes of Jesus and look at them as being of value and worth, worthy of dignity and respect, because God created them in His image. And so you see what happens when you align yourself with the great commandment and you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself. Your heart gets full of compassion. As you worship God, and as you appreciate one another, and as you're thankful for God's plan of redemption, your heart overflows with compassion. And a heart that's filled with compassion makes a complete change in an individual, that you're no longer ordinary people, but you become extraordinary. Because of who you are in Christ. You see, that's what happened to the disciples. And subsequently, they listened differently. They listened as Jesus listened. They saw differently. They began to see as Jesus saw. They spoke differently. They began to speak as Jesus spoke. They acted differently. They began to act as Jesus acted. So these two men that were all about themselves and self-centeredness had turned to Christ-centeredness. They had shifted their focus from their ambitions to the Great Commission. And now they were going up to get a refill at the spiritual Philip station. They're going into the temple to praise and praise the Lord and worship Him. And on their way up, this man cries out. This time they hear the ears of Jesus. They look at Him. This time they don't see a crippled beggar reaching out for charity. They see Him through the eyes of Jesus. This time they speak. They just don't ignore Him. And they speak as Jesus would speak and offered Him words of hope. And then they acted as Jesus would act. And He became His hand extended. And they reached out and took a hold of Him. And God, through faith in Jesus' name, did a miraculous work. And he came to his feet, and he went into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising the Lord. Wow! What happened? Everyone was awestruck. They were amazed by this great thing that had happened. But I want you to see that it wasn't about the miracle.
It got my attention. It
certainly would have gotten my attention if I had been there. I'd love to see it happen on a more regular basis today. But it wasn't about the miracle. And Peter made it known, don't look so intently at us as if it's by some power of our own or some godliness of ourselves that this happened. He totally backed down. No preeminence, no glory, no... Right at the time when it was ripe now for Peter and John to form the Peter and John Miracle Association. Start your own ministry and say, bring all that you got to us. Relive their ambitions of power. No, they were changed men. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about them. And Peter was very quick to point out, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And he said, this is what happened. And in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, not through Peter and John, not through the layman, but through Jesus, has given to this layman perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, what authority and power we see here. And when we look at this, we sometimes, and we pick up from here the phrase, in the name of Jesus. And that's one common in our circles. That's part of our language, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But you see, it's more than ordinary words that were spoken. And in the name of Jesus can be ordinary words. But this time, in the name of Jesus wasn't ordinary words. The problem with people is that, and Christians, is that they often make the mistake of acting in their own authority as if it is his authority. And the result is the name of Jesus being used in vain. Now, I'm not saying taking the name of the Lord in vain, but what I'm simply saying is this. You've heard it, and I've heard it, and I've used it. In the name of Jesus this, in the name of Jesus that, in the name of Jesus something else. And nothing happens. It's in vain. It's empty words. You see, in the name of Jesus is not a magical formula. It's not something that you pull out of the Bible and now you interpret it to suit yourself. And so you go out and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Wouldn't it be great if it was that way? Man, I could leave here now and I could go up to the seniors' home and I could walk into the rooms and those that are in the wheelchairs in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because I don't have faith. It's not going to happen because they don't have faith. It's not going to happen because I haven't been given the specific dispatch to do that work with the appropriate authority and power behind it. Can it happen? Yes, it can. It happened right here. And if it happened there, it can happen here. I'm not saying that. I'm not negating that. I'm just saying it's more to it than a magical formula. It's more than just words. When we say, in the name of Jesus, and when we say it with the authority and the power that's represented in that name according to his will, and when we are dispatched to do it. Let me just give a quick illustration here. A rookie cop and a seasoned cop. Okay, let's say I just came out of Regina, out of the RCMP training school. And I got my uniform, and I got my badge, and I got my revolver. And I'm a young cop, I'm a rookie, I'm all full of zeal, I want to go out, and I just want to, you know, to make my mark. And so I just, you know, at will, I go out, I go up to Walmart, and I see a lady there, and I say, oh, she's probably a shoplifter. So I go over, and I say, you're under arrest. And anything that you say can be and may be used against you. And I cuff her. Wow. And not too long before I'm going to get in some big trouble. And so I get into patrol car, and I drive down the street, and I pick out a car, and I pull them over. I pull my pistol out, and I flash my badge, and I says, "You're under arrest." Anything you say, right to remain silent, because anything you say can and maybe you. It's not too long before I'm going to get pulled aside by a superior officer. Man, you got it wrong. The fact that you wear this uniform, got this badge, and have a pistol doesn't give you the authority and the power to go out in that will. Just arrest whomever you want to arrest. Just to satisfy yourself. And I must be doing something that's going to please a hierarchy. So take the seasoned cop. And he's a cop that wears the uniform with pride. He has his badge. And he has his pistol. And he's committed himself and dedicated himself to the force to the level that he's ready to lay down his life, if needs be, to represent the authority and the power that has been given to him and to carry out that responsibility. And so he's driving along in his cruiser, and he's tuned into his radio, and he's dispatched to Dairy Queen, because at Dairy Queen, there is a robber with a knife that's hauling one of the clerks at knife point and wanting to rob the till. Now, he has been dispatched. He has been given direction. He has been mandated to go to a specific place because there is an infraction that's taking place. And he knows that he's laid his life on the line, and if it means he gets killed, he gets killed. But he's going to do what he knows he has the authority and the power to do and is responsible to do. And he walks into Dairy Queen, he pulls his pistol, and he says, "You're under arrest." And the guy with the knife, if he's got an inkling of common sense at all, is going to recognize that man's got authority. He's wearing a uniform, he's got a badge, he's true blue. He's got power to back up his authority. And I might as well surrender. You see, that's the difference. That's the difference. And if we are in tune with the dispatcher, if our radio is on, and we are mature enough to know what our responsibility is, then we will hear when the Spirit of God speaks into our hearts to take an assignment and to exercise the authority and the power to enforce the law. Too many are like the rookie cop that just want to interpret that will, do it for the sake of doing it, and expect something great is going to just happen because they said, "In the name of Jesus." Friends, what happened here was more than ordinary. And it was because changed men received and were dispatched to go to this scene and to carry out this particular mission. And the result was this lame man that daily sat there begging to get enough to get by, was now walking and leaping and praising the Lord in the temple. And the attention was drawn to the miracle and what had taken place. And the attention was drawn to the men that were instrumental in the miracle. And the attention was probably drawn to what they had said to me. But that's not what was about. The miracle wasn't the end. It was a means to an end. The miracle was to get the attention of these people and to see that the kingdom of God had now entered into the natural world to perform the supernatural. And the purpose of it all was to present Jesus.
And that's exactly what Peter and John did. They began to preach Jesus, the one who was taken, the one who was crucified, the one whom God raised again from the dead, the one who has all power and authority, and in His name and through His name, these mighty works can be done because He is the ultimate power. There is no power in earth. There is no power under the earth. There is no power anywhere that is greater. There's no authority that is higher than Jesus Christ. And in His name, all things are possible. But He dispatches. We need to hear. Now, I'd like to see more. I'd like to see more than the ordinary. I'm sure you would like to see more than the ordinary. But if there's going to be more than the ordinary, then there has to be change. Because you can't do the same thing over and over and over and over again and expect a different result. That's foolishness. There has to be change. So if you want to see more of the supernatural, if you want to see more of the ministry of Jesus, if you want to see more of the ordinary, there has to be change. Remember the old spiritual? Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Let me just put it this way this morning. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of change. That's where it began. That's where it began. Right here. Right here. I stand honestly before you this morning saying, I need change. I'm in a process. He's not finished yet, but I need change. I need change in my life. And if I'm going to be, and if you're going to be more than ordinary people and become extraordinary people, you need change. We need to focus as the disciples did, from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness, from selfish ambition to the Great Commission. When we're aligned with the Great Command, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all our mind, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now here it is. Here's simply what the disciples did. They got it. This is about Jesus, not us. What are we here for? To carry out the Great Commission, to reach the lost. We're not here to be self-served or to be catered to. We're here on a mission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be His ambassadors, His representatives. That's our purpose. And if we're going to do that effectively, there has to be change. We have to align with loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And then when that happens, we become people that are full of compassion. Full of compassion. So what happened? When they came down from the mountain, they obeyed the word of the Lord and they went to Jerusalem. When they went to Jerusalem, they joined in unity. They joined in community. They came together as a group of people with the same purpose. In obedience to God's word to tarry and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so they were there worshiping and praising and praying in the upper room. And then at one point, when God was ready, in the fullness of time, He dispatched the Holy Spirit that Jesus said would come, and He would be to you what I was to you, only now He's going to be in you, and not only to you, but He's going to be in all those that believe, that accept Him. The Holy Spirit is coming to guide you and to let you know what the will of the Father is. You see, because Jesus, when He was on earth, did only the will of the Father. Not His own will. He done the will of the Father to the point that He had to go to the cross. And now He's going away. He's saying that, I'm going away, and now the Holy Spirit's coming, and the Holy Spirit is going to do what I tell Him to do, and I'm going to tell Him to do what God tells me to do. Father tells me, I'm telling the Holy Spirit, and He's going to tell you what to do. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to listen. But if you obey the word, if you come into unity, they were together. He said, look on us. No one was above the other. No one was jockeying for power. No one was looking for the right hand or the left hand.
They were the same. They were in unity, in community. And they prayed and they worshiped. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were ready to carry out the Great Commission. And they got off the bay. And they were willing to obey the Great Commandment. Let me challenge you in closing this morning. Let me challenge you to set a goal this week. This week. Something that's simple, something that's measurable, something that's attainable, something that is realistic, and something that is time. You're going to do it this week. Within the parameters of this week, you're going to fulfill this goal. It can be simple. Simple as that. I'm going to get into the Word of God a little bit more and listen. And then I'm going to try to obey it. It could be that I'm going to make sure there's nothing in my heart that's causing disharmony or disunity within the body. And so I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to search my heart. And if there's anything that I need to do, I'm going to do it. I'm probably needing to spend more time in prayer, more time in the presence of God in praise and worship. I'm going to do it this week. Or I just feel my need for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not to have a testimony that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1952, but I'm filled with the Spirit in 2018. And so I'm going to just seek for that being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, these are just simple goals that are measurable. You can tell whether you've done it or not by the end of the week. They are attainable. There's nothing impossible about this. It's realistic. It's not unrealistic. Like if you were going to go and say, oh, my goal is this week, next Sunday I'm going to go and I'm going to take someone by the hand and say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That's unrealistic. It can happen, but it's not going to happen that way. And so it's something to remember. Listen. We don't have to sit around and wait and expect that by some supernatural means that all of a sudden we're going to come to Bethel like the lame man and just sit there crippled and trying to get enough to get us through from day to day. And expect that all of a sudden we're going to come into this place and there's people that's walking and leaping and praising the Lord and great things are happening. It doesn't happen like that. It happens as you and I as individuals begin to change and align ourselves with the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, and then we'll discover I'm beginning to hear something. I'm listening. Friends, there's thousands of people right around you that need a listening ear. I deal with it on a daily basis. Just need someone to listen. That's not hard. And as a Christian, to listen with the ears of Jesus. There's people around you that want you to see their need. And if your eyes is touched with compassion, you begin to see needs. It might be someone that needs a meal. It might be somebody that needs a $10 bill. But you'll begin to see their need. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking. And the Holy Spirit is anointing your eyes. You begin to speak differently. Instead of criticizing, instead of backbiting, instead of gossiping, you're discovering now that you're speaking words of hope into somebody's life. And your whole actions begin to change. And you begin to do things. You begin to reach out to people. Every single. And if that becomes a way of life, guess what? You're not going to be coming to church crippled and lame and just sitting there trying to get something to get you through day by day. But you're going to come to church and walking, leaping, and praising the Lord because of the glory of God and the great things that He is doing through His Holy Spirit and through faith in and through the name of Jesus. And in that atmosphere, look out. The lame can walk. The blind can see. Hallelujah. The deaf can hear. You can see miracle after miracle after miracle. You can see the acts of the Holy Spirit as it is manifested. But it begins with you. And it begins with me. Who do you best identify with this morning? The lame man before the miracle or the lame man after the miracle? Who do you want to identify? House of God, walking and leaping and praising. Let's stand. Make me more like Thee. Make me more like Thee, Jesus. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. We want to be like Jesus. But this is what I want us to sing this morning. I'm going to live the way He wants me to live. I'm going to love the way that He wants me to love. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. And I could never, ever outlove our Heavenly Father, outlove God. His love is just lavished upon us. And He don't judge us. He disciplines us. We are His children. So this morning, just make that your expressed desire and commitment. I'm going to live. Not the way somebody else thinks I should live. Not the way that I think someone else should live. I'm going to live the way He wants me to live. I'm going to hear just exactly what He's saying to me. I'm going to love until there's just no more love. All my heart, all my soul, all my mind. It's all for God. I'm going to give. I'm going to give myself. I'm going to love myself, love my neighbor, love God, and then I'm going to give my all to Jesus. Give till there's nothing left to give. And I can say it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Make that your prayer, your commitment. Express it as a desire. Then set a goal and keep it this week. Let's sing it before we dismiss. As we go this morning, may we go in the name of Jesus and be blessed. Freely we have received, may we freely give. Lord, give us opportunity this week to present Jesus. By what we hear, by what we see, by what we say, and by what we do. And let lives be touched with the gospel. As we represent You as Your ambassadors in this world, just before You call us out. Call us back to the homeland to be with You. Help us to complete the work that You call us to do. And help us that we might see more than just the ordinary in these last days, because we're in tune with the the will of God. Father, help us to set goals and reach goals that will help us to be changed people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.